It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I am so freaking tired.
Why?
Because I've slept terrible the last two nights. I didn't even game Tuesday night. Apparently, it's just Tuesdays. It's not gaming that makes it hard for me to sleep. It's just being Tuesday, apparently. And last night, I slept pretty crappy, too. I'm going to demonstrate how poorly I slept.
Okay.
By discussing several things today that have made me just unsensible with rage that are really insignificant.
Hmm.
Won't that be fun?
Okay, sure.
All right, I hit you with one here. So, I already forgot what it was.
That's how tired you are? Wow.
It was about Panda Express, which that's a thing right there. Panda Express is terrible.
Well.
No, like, Panda Express is famously the second worst Chinese food I've ever eaten.
It's famous for being the second worst Chinese food you've ever eaten?
Yes, specifically, yes.
Like, the whole world knows this.
You can be famous and not the whole world, but I'm saying a lot of people know this. It is known.
Okay.
It is known better than the fact that the worst Chinese food I ever had was a place called Egg Roll House that was over where the East Side Shorts burger is now.
Mm-hmm.
That did not last very long because it was the worst Chinese food in the history of anything. But Panda Express is second worst.
Okay.
When we would go to Coral Ridge Mall, I would get it because I love Asian food in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of food I would like.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, and I'm like, this sucks. Every time, I'm like this. So I finally learned my lesson. I'm like, nope, no more Panda Express.
Okay.
So, as it happened yesterday and today, I was on my own for lunch. And I don't know why, but yesterday I was like, I should give Panda Express another shot. Like, there's that one over by Walmart. I'm like, because here's the thing. It's horrible, and it's still operating. And, like, I hear people talk about it, and specifically how much they love their orange chicken.
Hmm.
And I was like, really? And I'm not even that big an orange chicken guy. But I was like, what? So I'm like, okay. So I went, and I tried it. The whole thing was ridiculous. Nobody was there. I showed up at, like, 5 minutes to noon, and the place was empty. I thought it was closed or something.
Mm.
But I get in the drive-thru, and a clearly automated voice is like, welcome to Panda Express. Would you like to try our new promotional item? And then what it was. And I was like, no, thank you. And then there's a pause. And then a completely different voice attached to a real human says, can you just give me a minute?
Can you just give me a minute? Because you're the first person who said no.
And I said, sure. And then a third person, third voice, says, what can I get you? And I start ordering. And from then on, it was the second person. And I believe the second person is who I got in the actual drive-thru. But they can't get their shit together. For starters, they have Crab Rangoons.
Mm-hmm.
I like Crab Rangoons. I'll give them this. They're honest. Because you know how Crab Rangoons, like, don't have no crab in them?
Yeah.
Or, like, they pretend it. They don't even call them. They call them cream cheese Rangoons.
Oh.
And I feel weird about buying them, but I bought them anyway. And I got some orange chicken. Because I'm like, that's the thing to try. And then I'm looking at the drinks. And they've got Pepsi products. Which is fine if they have Diet Mountain Dew. They don't. So I'm like, oh, Diet Pepsi. All right. I'll have a Diet Pepsi. And he's like, is Coke okay?
What?
And I was like, yes, actually, Diet Coke would be great. I'd prefer that. But why the fuck does it say?
That is weird.
And then he says, pull up to the first window. There's only one window.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that's probably a stupid user trick. I feel like other people, but, like, that's weird to me, too. And that happened today, too. The orange chicken's not bad.
Not bad, huh?
It's not bad. And so then today, I'm like, what do I want for lunch? I think I'm going back to Panda
Express.
No, wait,
where's this? Where's this at?
It's over by Walmart. Like, you go out Highway 1.
Yeah.
Like, there's a Dairy Queen and a GameStop out there. Hmm. They're just a couple. It's where Westport Touchless Auto Wash is. Yeah, there's a Dairy Queen out there, there's a GameStop, and there's a Panda Express. And then there's the Midtown Diner number 2 or something.
Hamburg in thing?
No, 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 Midtown Diner. No. Where Walmart is.
I don't know where Walmart is, I guess.
All right. Follow all the way till you get to Highway 6.
Yeah.
And then keep driving. You know when you're out there and it's just the land of the car dealerships?
Yeah.
It's at the start of that is where Walmart is.
Oh,
like there's a Culver's out there.
Because there was a Walmart right next to the Toyota dealership. I don't know what it is now there.
I think that is the same location, but I think they tore it down and made it into a cooler Walmart.
Oh.
If that's possible. But yeah, that's basically the area.
Okay, I haven't been over
there. Yeah, you haven't been out there in a long time.
Yeah, for a very long time. For a very long time.
And I went back today. And today I got 2 entrees.
Yeah.
I got the orange chicken, and I got Beijing beef, which, exactly, like, fuck off right there. Like, that's...
They sound like competitors in some kind of sport, but I'm not sure which one.
Well, and you know it's the most lie. Like, Beijing beef...
This seems like a long way for you to drive, by the way, to get to...
But I had an hour. For lunch.
Okay.
And so I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, no, you're right. Like, I wouldn't normally go with Trish or something. But I was like, I have an hour. I'm just going to go through the drive-thru. I'll just go. So I did. But, like, General Tso's chicken, I understand, is an American thing, and we invented it. And for the 2008 Olympics, they had to teach the Chinese how to make it. Whatever. I get that.
Sure.
But that was a while ago. Like, Panda Express specifically... made up Beijing beef. Like, that's not a thing.
Beijing beef.
Beijing beef.
Peking pork.
That's the thing. Like, Peking duck.
And I guess we'll just go with Chinese chicken. Why not?
And I'm like, did they used to call it Peking beef? And then they just, like, no, because it's the
it's got to be alliterative, yeah.
Beijing
it's
beef.
It's got to be alliterative.
Like, I don't know why, but, like, it offends me. Also, it was really tasty.
Oh, okay.
So, I have 2 theories now about Panda Express. One is that the lo mein is what sucks. Cause they call it chow mein, but it's clearly lo mein. And maybe that sucks, because that's what I usually get as a side. And now I got the fried rice, it's better. My other theory is it's just the battered fried entrees that are good.
Because
oh. Both of them are, like, heavily battered things. So, maybe it's that. I don't know. But it was a weird experience. But I remember now why I'm originally mad.
Okay. Thank God, because we were all kind of...
I was a little mad about that, but Chinese takeaway.
Yeah.
Is the most... Also, I got mocked for saying takeaway today.
Because that's what Brits say?
Exactly. And I'm like, we all know what it means.
Yeah, we know what it means.
Chinese take care of... The point is not sitting... Chinese food where you don't sit in the restaurant and eat.
Yeah.
Delivery, takeout, whatever you want to call it. Is the most judgmental of foods.
Chinese is?
Yes, specifically.
Judgmental of whom? You?
Of the eater.
Really? How
yes.
So?
Fortune cookies.
Fortune cookies?
Yes.
I don't get it.
All right. Let's say you're going to, I don't know, Panda Express.
Okay, we're going to Panda Express.
And you're ordering some food.
I don't know why we'd do that, but...
Yeah, but you're doing it. How many people are you ordering for?
For just me.
All right, one person.
Yeah.
So you order some food.
Mm-hmm.
How many fortune cookies do they give you?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know, or they don't know?
They have to. They're not going to ask you.
No, I guess not.
They're going to guess based on what you ordered.
They're not just going to grab a whole bunch of them and
throw them in? No, 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 no. They're going to give you what seems like an appropriate number of fortune cookies for the amount of people that should share the dish you have. I haven't only experienced this at Panda Express. I've experienced this many times in my life.
Oh.
But I experienced it today.
So they guess how many people are eating it and give you that many fortune cookies.
Oh, it looks like this much people's of food.
Yeah.
And they throw. I mean, some of them may be lazier about it than others. But essentially, this, I mean, like, it's really rough when you order Chinese food and it shows up at your house and there's 6 fortune cookies in it and you're by yourself.
Oh.
Feel really judged. Today, I ordered lunch for me, gave me 2 fortune cookies. I'm not going to say it wasn't a big lunch. But I didn't appreciate the commentary.
But I said you got 2 entrees, you said.
No, it's it's called a plate.
Yeah.
And a plate, you pick 2 entrees and a side.
Oh.
They have a bowl, a plate, and the brilliantly named bigger plate is the 3rd one.
It probably sounds better in Chinese.
They would not know. Pretty sure the founder of it's Korean.
Okay.
But anyway. But they give, and admittedly, there were sides involved. Look, the point is, didn't appreciate the judgment.
Well, but wait, maybe a plate is supposed to be an economical way to buy for 2 people, and so they just assume.
You're always such a Panda Express
apologist. I'm just saying there's 2 entrees.
And I'm just saying this is America.
Who invented the fortune cookie, I think.
Who invented supersizing?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, then maybe you'd want more than 1 fortune cookie.
Oh, I see.
Supersized fortune
this
cookie.
It's not that they thought it was 2 people. They're like, clearly this is a fat man who can't stop from eating, and so we'll give him more cookies. This might explain it, because 2 fortune cookies, 1 fortune.
They're the same?
No. One of them didn't have one.
Oh, it was empty.
And it was the second one I'm opened. So, epilogue to this whole story, mm-hmm. I'm going to die tonight.
You think so?
I have no future.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, this is no good.
Well, it was nice knowing you.
Really?
Yeah, it really was.
All right.
I wouldn't lie about that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I wouldn't really lie about anything, I guess, but I wouldn't lie about that, for sure. I'll miss you. The listeners will, too, because...
Because you don't know how to run the equipment.
No, because even if I kept doing the podcast, nobody would listen if you weren't doing it. I'm not going to listen to William.
I think you'd be like, you know what I think really used to annoy Tony? He never got a chance to talk about it, but...
I'm going to tell you. It's probably the same thing that annoys all of you.
There's a person at work.
Yeah.
True.
Lots of people, I'm sure.
Who did Trish is a coworker of Trish. It's actually been weird. They were coworkers and then he was her boss and then they were coworkers again and now he might report. I don't know for sure, but they work in the same group. And for reasons, he recently moved, so he doesn't work near her and the rest of those people. He works with a small group that is near me.
Okay.
Entirely for space reasons, not because his job changed or anything.
Okay.
The day he arrived up there, we had a conversation because he had trouble figuring out the mailing system. And me and like 2 other people were explaining to him, and he kind of like didn't believe us. He's like, are you sure? But how would that work? We're like, no, just put it in there. It'll be fine. And finally, we're just like, seriously, do it. And he's finally like, okay, I guess we'll see. And we're like, it works.
We'll see.
Trust me.
Because you, right? Because people don't trust you.
Like, there were trustworthy people there as well. No, here's the thing. this was a while ago.
Okay.
Another fun fact about this gentleman, we recently hired on my team a very talented, very well-educated, but fairly young woman who happens to be his daughter.
Mm.
She was super psyched when her dad moved essentially kitty corner from her cubicle-wise.
That's nice.
No, it's the shit out of her.
What?
Most people don't like that. Oh. Most people are not into that.
Okay, well.
So yeah,
I would have thought it was cool to work near my...
Her aged parent, no.
You were being sarcastic just a second ago?
Yes, other people help... If you understand what the hell I'm talking about and why you wouldn't want to work 3 feet from your dad, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us about it. Or whatever. You don't even know what show this is yet, so who knows. But trust me, go there. You'll figure it out.
Okay. Sorry, today, I thought you were being serious.
So today, near the end of the day, she comes over to me with a question about some periodicals because we have certain magazine subscriptions that like multiple people want. So what our company does is they have the subscription, then they put a routing slip on it. And so it's like first it gets delivered to this person, and once they're done with it, they put it back in the mail, and then we deliver it to this person and this person. And she was like, "I'm done with these. What do I do?" I'm like, "Oh, you just put it in the mail." And she's like, "Where is it?" And I'm like, "Oh, you notice it?" I was like, I send her to the place, and she comes back, and she's like, "But this is local. This is just in."
Like
and I was
dad.
Like, "It's fine." And that was the thing. Halfway through it, I'm like, "Oh my god, I had this conversation with your father." I'm like, to ask him, and she goes back over, he doesn't remember this happened, like, at all. And we spent the rest of the day, and I was laughing so hard. I had to explain to other people, because they were like, what is wrong with you? Because it's near the end of the day, and we're both laughing, and she's like, but what if, and I'm like, trust me, you're saying word for word what he said. I promise you, it's going to go through.
That's an odd kind of skepticism, isn't it?
It's...
I mean, why did she ask you in the first place if she didn't think you knew?
Well, I think it's the nature of some people, because here's the thing.
Okay.
So, you ask me how something is done.
Yeah.
In our workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you.
Right.
You don't necessarily not believe me, but you find that a ridiculous way to do things.
Sure.
Or a problematic way to do
things. Yeah, I gotcha.
For some people... the line between that's insane, why do we do it that way, and no, you must be confused and or joking because no one in their right mind would do that, can get blurred.
No, I hear you, sure.
And of course, then the very nice, reasonable voice comes up that says, clearly I'm not explaining myself right because it can't be that insane. And so I think that's what's going on, which I find funny because I don't find anything wrong with it at all. They're like, she's like, I was like, just put them all in the same box. She's like, and so then later they'll sort them? I'm like, no, they throw them all on a truck and hope for the best.
But it's also a very low stakes thing. Like well, let's say you're wrong and she does it. What? Who cares?
Well, especially in her case. In his case, I think he was actually mailing stuff.
Oh, okay.
That, like this one is just like a magazine or whatever. But, well, and of course... stupid user trick here. I told her, like, the last two things I'm going to tell you. I said, one, I swear on my life it'll work. Just put it in there. And two, because there are so many people who have this problem, they have put, if you turn 180 degrees from there, in the incoming mailboxes, you will see a small one that says outgoing mail. And you can put it there, and they will also take it. And you're just creating extra work for the mail carrier. And that's where you put it. Because that's what people do. Because they just... I'm like, oh my god. I like the sign that says open 7 days a week, Sundays too. That exists.
What?
No, that was the old Carlos Messina thing, and he's like, I went in to tell the dry cleaners, because their sign said that, and they were like, no, we get it.
Yeah, but we people put that come in and ask.
People kept coming in and asking. So
you guys open on Sundays?
On
7 days a week.
Yep.
There's only seven Sundays people.
Too. Yeah, no, this is a... Yeah. So... the people I work with, I love them. They are brilliant. They are doing some cutting-edge educational research. They cannot dress themselves, and that's why I have a job.
I wonder if there's something in common there.
I have to say, see, this is the thing. Like, people get really into higher degrees, and I'm like, higher degrees are awesome. It takes energy and effort, which could be spent on other things. And sometimes you find people that have focused very hard on their field and on their education, and that energy has been taken away from certain aspects of social interaction or even emotional maturity in some cases.
Yeah, there's something like...
You will find people who are really awesome at that one thing and a complete idiot about every other aspect of life.
Yeah, there's something like 20 different kinds of intelligence, and nobody's good at... All of them.
Yeah.
And we call polymaths and geniuses people who are good at maybe three of them.
Yeah.
Most people are good at one. And to be good at one, as you just pointed out, you take resources away from the other ones, and you're usually not as good at those. Yes. So, yeah, that's obviously true.
But I prefer to be mediocre at just about everything. It's worked for me so far.
I sometimes think that about myself, too. I'm not a master at anything.
I had a shitty experience the other night. So part of the reason I'm not sleeping, my brain is very, very active right now.
Sure.
And it, why do you say sure? Like you just like,
because I haven't been sleeping very well either same for thing. The exact same reason.
It wants creativity desperately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it basically, it either wants me to be consuming it or producing it.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
And I'm trying to get through this Odd Wings draft. I'm so sick of this book. But, like, I have to get through. But, like, in the meantime, I'm taking notes. I have come up with a fable I need to write, a short story that is going to be awesome that I need to write, and another short story that could spin off into a whole series. But just sitting there waiting. And that's not even counting Becca James Lowenstein, Queen of Space Spiders, exclamation point. But I'm also trying to – I'm reading – the video game is just on hold. Most of this week I haven't even touched it because that's not doing it for me at all. So I'm reading. So I'm reading the N.K. Jemisin, How Long Till Black Future Month, the short stories.
Yeah.
Awesome. Super awesome. And so I had what I'm guessing will be a moment many times in life for the first time, reading that and going, if I am a successful writer and do well, and, you know, people like me and I get better and everything, there's no way in hell I'm ever going to be this good.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
She's a fucking force of nature. It's the craft of the sentences is just phenomenal to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm nowhere near this. That being said, because it's been so long since I touched the Odd Wing draft and I'm reading up to the point that I was last editing, I'm getting glimpses. There's some shit in here that I'm like, this, I like this.
Sure.
Just today I was like, this is some good dialogue. And it's really braggy to say, but I figure it balances out because there's parts of the book that I fucking hate. So, you know, it evens yeah. out. But some of them, I'm like, this chapter is really nice. I like this. Also, still in love with The Good Place. Really sad because I'm over halfway through season 2, and season 2 is all I can get up to mm-hmm. on Netflix. And I've only got like 5 episodes left. I'm like, oh, because I love it. And it's, I feel like an idiot how much I keep praising it, but it's just really good.
It's very good.
I think I like season 1 more than season 2. Part of that originally when, you know, because things change a lot, as far as I understand, no spoilers please, but things change a lot in season 3 as well. It was a little bit bumpy in the first couple episodes of season 2 for me to get back into, like, what I liked about it,
sure.
I guess.
Yeah.
And now I'm loving it again. I still think I like season 1 better. I'm not entirely sure why. I intend to rewatch it all, mostly because I intend to make Trish watch it. And I'm a little bit scared because I think I'm going to run into clear retcons. I've already thought of things that I'm like, if they were planning to go in this direction, then this doesn't make sense kind of stuff. But I think there's also probably going to be a lot of clues that'll be interesting to pick up on.
Sure.
So that'd be, yeah, I'm still loving that. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world where two white guys give their opinions on whatever the hell they feel like with little or no feedback. Seriously, it's the only podcast like that. Anywhere. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 420.
420, man.
Oh. I should have known you were going to do that.
Yeah, I guess we have to reason. I'm not tired, I'm just stoned. Let's do that since it's episode 420. I'm not.
Why not?
It's not that I've been sleeping poorly. It's because I can't stop smoking the doob.
The doob.
The doob.
Okay.
That's what, when you're friends with it, that's what you call
it. Is it going to be less cool to use marijuana once it's legal everywhere?
I don't know, apparently, CBD is out of control. Like, it's a fucking everywhere now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in theory, I'm soon going to be able to buy it at
local pharmacy or whatever.
Yeah, Walgreens.
Yep.
I've never had any CBD stuff, so.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
I
mean, I know what it is, but.
Yeah, and in theory, it has lots of cool properties, but doesn't get you high. But, I don't know. I don't know about that because I still feel like smoking's cool, even though people know it's terrible for you and a lot of people don't want to do it, it's still very romantic and you still find it in certain types of movies and stuff. And usually it's a fashion thing. It's not, we're going to have this character smoking a cigarette so you know, like, they're stupid and don't know not to smoke, or, like, that they're a terrible addict. No, it's usually because it looks cool. It's a badass move. It's a gritty thing, but still.
I guess.
And so, I don't know.
But that's still not, that's still not what I was thinking when I said not cool anymore. Like, yeah, smoking, drinking coffee at a coffee house, smoking marijuana. But, like, I think if kids think it's cool, I think it's the same with smoking. A lot of times part of what makes it cool to them is that they're not supposed to be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, and that may stick around because even if when it's legal everywhere, it's not going to be legal for children.
Yeah, I suppose.
So,
yeah, I suppose that's true. I didn't think about that part.
But I don't know. I don't care. I don't got no kids. Whatever. Okay, for those of you joining us, okay, this is a two-parter because somebody wants to see Shazam next week.
On Thursday,
that's what we're now recording. So we're going to do two-parters. So I'm only going to explain this once. Here's how it works. We have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Folks like you. Other people, maybe. Mostly like you. write into that email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. With little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, transmogrifies those emails. I'm so tired. Sorry, I'm so stoned. Transmogrifies those emails in little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. We, its effervescent servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random. Read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Obviously.
And we're going to do two of them tonight. So, have you still not seen Pearl?
No, I did see Pearl.
Oh, shit. Then I don't know what I'm going to show you in between episodes. Did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. It's not been sticking with me, particularly, but I did like it.
Yep.
God damn, how many weeks is it? Has it just been 2 weeks?
Two, yeah.
It feels longer.
So have you ever been to a naturalization ceremony?
Is that where people get naked? As a naturalist.
Immigrants
are taking an oath
to become citizens? American citizens?
Or? Yeah, no, I have not.
I had never either until a couple weeks ago when our mutual friend Gert became a citizen.
Oh, yeah, you said Gert's... Now, is he retaining dual citizenship? Or
okay.
Is he...
the way it seems to work is I do believe Belgium will continue to recognize his birth citizenship.
Okay.
The United States will not.
That's okay. That's kind of how I thought it was.
Which,
Stu, in theory, is the same thing.
Which I was asking him about it, and he wasn't sure. And I said, well, obviously, nobody cares if the United States recognizes your Belgian. It only matters if Belgium does.
Yeah.
Who cares? But I'm... It was weird, though, because part of the ceremony is someone is like saying things to you, like what you're going to affirm or vow.
Yeah,
to.
And you have to like forsake all other.
That's right, forsake all other governments and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Which now it just seemed weird. Right.
But I mean, with Gert gone, the whole country of Belgium is just his brother
and
one Walloon dog.
And a dog, yeah. Anyway, so this was in Cedar Rapids,
because
that's where the nearest federal court is. And it was kind of moving, really. There's about 30 people from lots of places. Only, besides Gert, there were only three other white people. There was two.
Nice.
A couple from South Africa and a woman from Latvia, but everybody else, there were some people from Central South America. There were people.
I'm not
from
against
there.
White people. We just have a lot of those. So.
In Iowa, especially. I mean, Ethiopia, Sudan.
Also, I like to think that every non-white person who's becoming a citizen now somehow fooled President Trump to do it, and I love that idea.
Like I said, Sudan, Ethiopia, Burma.
Don't we call it Myanmar now, or do we call it Burma? I forget which one it was and which one it is.
Well, they kept saying Burma.
Okay.
So I thought, because I was confused too. It's either Burma, formerly Myanmar, or Myanmar, formerly Burma. Yes. But they kept saying Burma. So In any event,
it's a shitty place. No one should want to live there.
Not
because it's like poor or anything. It has a horrible, repressive government that does terrible things to its people.
And, you know, several of the people had names that indicated or that would seem to indicate that they were Muslim. So I was like, this is great. You know, this is fantastic that I was getting such a wonderfully diverse group of people. And it was very nice. But it was oddly churchy. It's not like there was a prayer or anything, but there would be a little bit of ceremony, and then there'd be like special music and a little bit of ceremony and special music that, which felt like a wedding or something.
Yeah, no.
And of course the music was all patriotic, which is usually very religious also.
Yeah.
So it had a very weird quality like that. Then they had these videos of our senators, Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, and President Trump talking to everybody.
Now I hate it.
They're about 3 minutes apiece or something, which felt weird for a variety of reasons.
Mm.
But anyway,
I don't like any of those people.
It was only about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but it was kind of nice. And then afterwards, there's services offered right away for you to set up getting your passport, register to vote. So we took Gert to where he needed to register to vote, because that's one of the reasons why he's doing it, is because he came here to marry his wife, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to be here. When you're living somewhere for as long as he already has been and will in the future, you want to be able to vote. You know what I mean? You want to be able to have a say in what's going
on. Stu, quite famously, finally did his citizenship so he could vote against Trump.
Yeah.
And then so many people got that idea that there wasn't an open slot at one of these things until December.
Mm.
By the time he did it, so he didn't get to vote, even though everything was like done, but it's not official until you have that ceremony, and he couldn't get a spot in one until December, so he was not able to do it, but he got to vote in the midterms.
Well, you just I don't know, you for me personally, it was very moving, and I don't just think of these people as new Americans, I think of them as new Iowans, which everybody who listens knows I'm a big fan of my own state. Mm-hmm. And I love that these people are Iowans now, and it just makes me really happy. So that was kind of fun. Also, we finished that game.
Red did?
The Witness.
Oh, The Witness, oh, yeah.
And you remember I told you that the puzzle, it seemed like an IQ test, the puzzles were. Yeah. And what I said was, in the sense that an IQ test would test how long it takes you to finish them,
mm-hmm.
and that would determine how intelligent you are. There is another thing that intelligent tests do that the puzzles eventually also did, which is the puzzles would start to be the kind where you've got to remember a lot of different rules.
You mentioned that last time, yeah. Then you have to apply to the next set.
I mean, that's one of the things that makes advanced math difficult is, you know, it's not just you have to remember X is a number or X is a particular number. There are symbols in advanced math that stand for whole formulas and you have to keep all of that in your head at the same time. So that started to be something that was testing. And we finished the game, and it didn't seem to be doing more than just that, like being this big IQ test. Now, there were these little clues, like one thing that is in the game is if you find certain puzzles and you solve them, there are these video clips that you can watch.
Okay.
And they're about various things, but I'll just cut to the chase, because after we finished the game, I was interested to know what other people were saying about it. And I found one article that pretty much I totally agreed with 100%. And what it was saying was the game is really about epistemology. It's about the ways that we know things. I mean, when I thought it was about a specific thing. I thought it was mostly about IQ and even suggesting maybe that that kind of intelligence is the most valuable kind of intelligence. It almost seemed to imply that in lots of places. But this person felt like, no, it's talking about all kinds of different ways of knowing, and it's trying to get the person playing the game to think about that. I don't think it did a very good job of that because, like I said, it was just a big IQ test. But it was fun. We had fun playing it together. It was fun to, you know, she would figure out something or I would figure out something. So I do kind of recommend it if you're into that kind of thing. I don't know if you're into doing puzzles or not. No,
I'm too tired.
It's fun with somebody, too. Like, so maybe you and Trish.
I've got it. I mean, it's on PlayStation Plus this month. I've got it.
So, yeah, I kind of recommend it.
I'm telling you, everybody's gone to the Rapture.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Not
but
that long either.
Seems like there was something. Well, and I was sick all that whole 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's why we missed last time, and the evils had to take over because you were sick, which was bad. I was sick Sunday and Monday. Oh, I missed work on Monday because of that, but I'm doing better now except I'm so tired.
Well, I hope you get some sleep, but I know exactly what you're talking about, exactly.
Have you checked out Love, Death, and Robots?
Was I supposed to? What is that?
Everybody should. It's the thing that Netflix is throwing in your face constantly anytime you go to Netflix recently. It is a Netflix anthology of animated sci-fi short films.
Well, I haven't seen it. I don't think.
It's good. I mean, here's the thing. It's truly an anthology. Like, each one, different animation style, different writers, different creators. So, it's hard to categorize the whole thing. Some of them are better than others. But there is a lot of interesting stuff in there. There is a lot of good animation, including stuff I didn't really think was possible. There's some good storytelling in there. There's some hilarious storytelling in there in places. I'm really enjoying it.
I'll have to look it up.
So I would highly recommend that to people.
There's a show that recently had a second season. It's a Netflix show, but I wasn't aware of it. Now I've forgotten. I should have wrote it down because it's a show we watched the first season of and liked.
Was it Norseman? You were all about Norseman.
No.
The OA?
No, we've seen
Everybody's
that.
Everybody's all about the
We saw the second season of that. Was this one has already had its second season, and everyone's talking about the third season, and I didn't know it had a second season. Mm. And it's on Netflix. Netflix actually is doing a terrible job. Like the thing you just mentioned, they definitely should have been suggesting that to us.
Well, no.
An animation I've seen, science fiction anthology?
It's throwing that one at people. It's very big into that one.
Not to
but
us.
But it puts a lot of TV shows that it clearly imported and doesn't talk about them. Recently, I was in there, and it's suddenly recommending a lot of fantasy horror TV to me, which is absolutely on point for me. But it's so much shit I never heard of. Hmm. Really cool things about, like a dramedy about exorcists in Mexico City and shit like this.
Oh.
And, like, weird, like, all sorts of... And then there's the stuff like The Order, which I've kind of known about, which is one that they made that's very much like The Magicians or, like, grown-up Harry Potter and that kind of thing. And just tons of these kind of shows that I'm like, yeah, I had no idea these existed.
Well, but one the show that I'm trying to remember, it's a show we watched, and I'm sure we rated it highly, and they're not...
And they didn't
tell us, oh, there's new episodes of this. And yet sometimes we get alerts about, oh, there's new episodes of this show. We've never watched that show, and we don't have any interest in that show.
Yep.
Why are you telling me there's new episodes to this show? But this is a show we watched and liked, and now I can't even remember what it was. But I was looking it up to see, well, when are they going to have a second season? I was afraid they weren't going to have one. Turns out it already had it. They're talking about third season now. It's like, what? And now I forget what it was.
That's how they get you.
But Netflix, I mean, you know, some of the stuff they make is pretty good. It's not bad.
There's a couple new things coming out this week that I've set the DVR for. Last night was the premiere of the What We Do in the Shadows TV show.
Oh, yeah.
I grabbed that. And tonight is a show I don't really fucking care about at all, in theory. It's called Abby's. It's a sitcom about a woman who decides to open a bar in her backyard. The only two things that make it interesting is, one, the creator on it is Michael Schur, who's the guy who made The Good Place and who was the showrunner on Parks and Rec.
Mm.
And two, it's got a cool cast, including like Neil Flynn and some other people. But the central title character is Natalie Morales, who has been underused as an actress for years now. She first popped up on the scene as the female lead in a really cool sci-fi show that only managed one season called The Middlemen. It was kind of a Men in Black kind of thing. It was really awesome. And she was great in it. And then she shows up, like, she had a recurring run on Parks and Rec, and she was on Powerless one time, and some other stuff. And she just sort of shows up, but finally, like, she's the central person. And I think that's really cool. So I'm going to check it out for that reason. But, yeah, and What We Do in the Shadows I've been waiting a while for, so.
And did you see the film? What Did We Do
in the Shadows? Yeah. I don't know. Did they actually make the spinoff Werewolves?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I remember her talk about it, and I wanted to see it because I love him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I've loved that comedian for a while. When I first knew him, I hated that comedian. But Rory, I forget his name now. But, yeah, and so I was excited when I heard about that. But I don't know. Have I talked about Captive State? We saw Captive State.
I don't think so.
We're like the only people who saw Captive State. It is not doing well. It's good.
Oh.
I'm confused. It's a little bit, Trish's theory is kind of like The Judge when that came out, and like people really thought it was a different kind of movie. There seems to be this impression that maybe people think Captive State is like a sci-fi action film.
Okay.
Because it's about aliens came, took over humanity, and now they're running things 9 years ago. And this is about a resistance movement or an attempt to stop. There's a lot of people involved. And so I think a lot of people thought it was like, oh, a rebellion started. No, it's much more like political thriller / espionage film. It's much more low-key. It is absolutely humorless, which some people have critiqued it on, and I'm not going to lie. That is true. It takes itself very seriously. But it did it pretty well. I was impressed. We enjoyed it. It's a heck of a cast. Vera Farmiga's in there. John Goodman's in there. Lots of people whose names I didn't ever know before this, but I like it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I would recommend that. Didn't see Us. Want to see Us. Can't. I don't think I can do it in the theater. I really want to. But I'm like, I can't do scary movies in the theater. And yeah, then I've just been watching dumb shit, like 70s. You know, I watched Eye in the Labyrinth. I watched something with Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and Possessed Children. It was really dumb. And it ends with a 10-year-old girl dressed up like an adult on fire screaming, "You've ruined everything! I curse your cruel god!" And then jumping off a cliff. And that's literally the last line in the film. It was awesome. Now, admittedly, it's not the last thing that happens. A bunch of other kids, also dressed as adults, go to the cliff and look down. And then slowly, by twos, they also jump off the cliff very calmly. They're not on fire. So, yeah, that was kind of fun. Yeah, not too much else. I played a lot of Fallout. I'm in Nuka World.
Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoying that because I'm enjoying the Disney World parallels and shots. And I just finished the Scientology one, which apparently isn't new. They had it in Fallout 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I never played Fallout 2, so I didn't know.
No,
I screwed it up the first time. I put in an extra fusion core, which makes them all die.
Oh.
They want you to get this spaceship. And the spaceship's really just this tilt-a-whirl ride that looks like a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And near the end, you got to power it up and you got to put 3 fusion cores in.
Mm-hmm.
There's space for 4.
Oh.
So I put a 4th in because I got plenty and I don't care. If you do that, they die.
Mm.
Like, it goes too fast and literally, they're just like bits and pieces on the floor afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I don't care, fucking Scientologists. Also, though, then you don't get your reward. So I reloaded, and I did it the right way.
Man, I kind of forgot about that.
I haven't gone in for any readings yet. You can do that.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
They
sit you in a chair. You have to pay increasingly large amounts of money for them, of course, like proper Scientologists. But yeah, you can gain your levels and things if you do that. So I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, we should probably do some hat stuff. I don't know. I'm tired. You figure it out.
I should figure it out.
Sorry, I'm stoned. Whatever.
Dave Avid wants to know.
Dave Avid. What do you want to know, Dave Avid? Tell us.
Who would win in a battle of wits? Are you ready? Team good Tony and William or team bad Tony and William?
Ooh. I mean, we might be biased.
Well, I mean, I think in a battle of wits between me and Evil William, Evil William's going to win hands down. There's no question. But I don't know if we're a team, you know what I mean, how it would work.
I
mean, I might be able to help somehow.
I mean, a lot of things.
But maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Lot of things. First of all, I believe we've established the only difference between you and Evil William is that he takes pennies and doesn't leave pennies.
He's also smarter than
that
me, I think.
That increases wit? I mean, maybe you're proving your point just by the fact that you believe that.
It's more to the point, I think one of the things that slows me down in the wit department is I overthink things.
The lack of a goatee.
I think of things twice, three times before I do them.
Okay.
I don't think he probably has that problem.
I think
he probably follows his impulses more, which I think maybe that doesn't actually make him quicker witted, but it makes him look like he is.
Okay.
And in a battle of wits, I think that would give him an advantage.
I also, I don't listen to the podcast, but based on what I've gleaned, I feel like Evil Tony likes Evil William more than I like you. And I don't know if that, like, helps their teamwork, per se. But what I really think it comes down to, and I don't know the answer to this question, but what I think the critical question is, between those two teams, who would care less about winning? Because I feel like a battle of wits between us four really comes down to who gives less of a shit. And they would lose because they wouldn't care.
Because
I feel like in general, all of us would give very little shit. None of us are that competitive.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, unless something was in there to motivate, like,
I mean,
if they win, they don't have to do the podcast anymore. That seems like that would be very motivating.
They would do that. And this is the thing. I feel like they hate goodness more than we hate evil.
Yeah.
Which is very, at least for you, it should be very counterintuitive. But, like, we don't spend a lot of time complaining about evil as a thing itself.
Yeah, right.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, does the facial hair impact things? I don't.
Well, I think it's more of a. It's kind of, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is kind of this way.
Right.
Mr. Hyde is evil. And incarnation of evil, really, but Dr. Jekyll isn't good, right? Technically, if
I always thought it was an id and ego thing.
Well, I mean, you can interpret it that way. But what I'm saying is, plot-wise, narrative-wise,
there's more purity to Hyde.
Yes.
I see.
That if in theory, Dr. Jekyll could have also come up with a potion that when he took it, it would also change his appearance and turn him into a better person.
Hyper Jekyll.
Yeah, hyper good guy. So Hyde wasn't really good versus... I'm sorry, Jekyll wasn't really good versus Hyde's evil. He was normal, average, ordinary person.
Yes.
So I think we're just ordinary people. They're evil. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not like we're good and they're evil. They're evil, but we're just ordinary.
No. We just say good for ease of categorization.
Yeah, right.
And because we live in the good universe, per se.
But I mean, this question is really asking who is wittier.
No, but dig deeper. This question is asking, what role does morality play in wit?
What role does morality play in wit?
I mean, basically, does being more good or more evil make you more or less witty? Or, if we really take the angle, it's not just about being wit, it's a battle of wits. They might win because being evil, they are far more likely to cheat. However, how do you cheat in a battle of wits? Seriously, I'm so tired. I can't even tell you.
Hmm.
These are powerful questions for the age.
Well, I mean, in most stories, modern stories especially, the evil person is often portrayed as, you know, we were just talking about how many different types of intelligence there are. The evil person is often portrayed with superiority in particular kinds of intelligence.
Craftiness.
Yeah. And in fact, it kind of becomes a part of the narrative that that just because someone is really intelligent in this, that, or the other way doesn't mean they're always going to win. And a lot of times the hero wins because the hero has an intelligence that's different. You know, like they're better at getting people on their side so they can...
No, the hero wins because people like a happy ending.
No, but...
I think there's a major component here is less about intelligence in most of these conflicts, and evil has an edge in that evil has greater agency because good, in theory, has lines they will not cross in a conflict.
Yeah, that's also...
But I don't see how that can apply in a big battle narrative of wits. Is it's like, you know, okay, don't pick on the face. Like, is like... If you're going to be battle of wits, don't talk about my parents. That's rude.
Well,
like,
might get back to what I was saying before. Like, one of the things about being a good person or wanting to be a good person is you put a little extra thought in everything you do because you're considering what the impact's going to be on the world or whatever.
Well, I'm way worse than that.
If you're not burdened by that, then you're not cheating, but you also can do things quicker.
It simplifies the problem.
Yeah, and you're like you said, you're willing to do things that the other person might not be willing to do, which again is not cheating. It's just, you know, in a battle of wits, a quote-unquote good person might not see a solution where a person not burdened by morality might see one.
Like a throat punch.
Or whatever, a valid solution.
A good person is not going to think a battle of wits could be run by a throat punch. But a well-placed throat punch... I mean, if the opponent is no longer able to battle, that's kind of a win.
Well, but, and you said, you were talking about
murder.
You were talking about cheating. You can cheat in a battle of wits, except it's only going to be considered cheating by the good person, right? In other words...
Pansy good people.
I mean, think about Princess Bride, where he poisons the Sicilian or whatever. He wasn't cheating. That was a perfectly valid battle of wits thing to do.
Never go in against the Sicilian when death is on the
line. But a quote-unquote good person might not think of that solution, is what I'm saying. So the bad person... And that, as you pointed out earlier, that is a theme often in stories where the reason the bad guy is more powerful at first, in the story anyway, is because he or she's willing to do what other people are not willing to do, or it throws people off that someone would be so evil to do this, and that's what makes them so unstoppable, is that they'll do these things and nobody knows how to deal with it or how to answer it.
Did you ever see Last Action Hero, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
I'm sure I have, but I don't really remember.
I did not. Apparently it's not very good. But it's a movie where this kid goes to a theater and he watches action movies and Arnold Schwarzenegger's the hero in them. And then something magical happens and Arnold Schwarzenegger can come out of the movie into the real world.
Okay.
But he's followed by the villains mm-hmm. of the movie. Mm-hmm. Charles Dance plays the main villain and there's like a minion or whatever. I don't know. Like I said, didn't actually see the movie. I just know bits and pieces. But the one bit I know in particular is Charles Dance gets very excited when he figures out the rules of the new world because he's like, in this world, the bad guys can win. And I was like, yeah, because that's the thing. What I'm increasingly discovering as we ponder this question is evil Tony and good Tony really don't have enough difference I feel like that's even across the board.
Oh, so that makes you guys even, okay.
Because when you talked about the things one does to be good, like none of that registered with
okay,
me.
But the point, though, is it when we become a team, is that an improvement?
Well, this is
on our individual performances, well, or but does it take away?
It doesn't matter. I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can do Battle of Wits, Evil Tony, and Evil William versus Tony. He sent William away. Because he thought he'd do better on his own. Like, I'm assuming for this question we have to work as a team.
Right.
So the question is, which William is the least detrimental?
No. The question is, if they're working together,
yes.
Is that an improvement? Because when two people work together, it's not just a matter of one person. They're not just the sum of their parts.
No.
They're different than the sum of their parts, but and they're either like in a positive way or in a negative way.
Yes.
Either will harm each other or will help each other.
And what I'm saying, though, is whatever that impact is, I think is the same in both teams.
Really?
I do. I think the aspect of teamwork doesn't change.
Okay.
So the question is just which William is more shit?
More of a...
Sorry.
More,
which William is better?
More,
does that sound more
leaden? Well, it is...
I think with the Tonys is really just a difference of facial hair.
It's also true, though, that in a lot of narratives, the way the hero overcomes is by being skilled in a different kind of intelligence than the villain. Mm. You know, like friendship conquers the villain, right? Because... The hero has a higher emotional intelligence or something
yes,
like
but
that.
But almost always... It's done anime style. It's not because it actually had a practical application. It's, no, I sang a song and my heart grew really big and energy beams shot out of my chest. And
okay.
Love all along. Anyway, so which of you has an extra skill?
I don't think it's about... You keep breaking it down to individual contributions.
That's because I'm saying everything else is the same on both sides.
I don't think that's true.
The only different factor is the Williams.
Yes, but you think that you and I will cooperate in the exact same fashion that they
yes, because we're just not different enough.
But it's not linear, though, because it's really not a matter of what each individual William brings to it.
You're saying each William, when added to the particular batch, because they are different Williams, will create a different chemical reaction.
Sure.
In other words... Per usual, you have found a way how we can't give an answer to this hypothetical situation.
Well,
so the answer here is Evil Tony and Evil William.
Maybe the answer clearly. Is we're just too evenly matched, and it's just gonna be a flip of a coin. I mean, I don't think
and,
I'm evenly.
And they will cheat at a coin flip. You can totally do that. So they'll win.
We won't cheat.
That's true. I would cheat too.
Yeah, and I would probably cheat with you if you were cheating. Well, it depends on what it is. If you want me to kill someone, no. But, you know, if we're...
Great. Now I know when...
If we're working together, I'm probably
going to be... One of our options tossed out.
I'm probably going to be more open to certain things than if I was just doing it by myself.
If you'd like to weigh in on this... Really? I mean, but also go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us how... Like, script it out for us. How does this Battle of Wits go down? Between the four of us. Who wins? Which Tony kills which William fastest? I mean, you know. Sorry, I got dark at the end there. I'm so tired, people. I'm so sleepy. All right, we got to do this again in an hour or in a week. For you guys, it'll be faster. So enjoy that. No! For them, it will be longer.
Why?
Because it'll take them a week to hear the next one.
Yeah.
It'll take us like 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, I just said for you guys it'll be faster. No, for us
it'll be faster. Oh, yeah, I didn't hear what you said.
I was wrong. So, you never listen to me. This is why we can't have good battles of wits.
I was just waiting for you to finish.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.